Yo, yo, it's your boy, your brother, your friend, once again in the building. Yo, guys, I want to humbly apologize because I know it's been a minute. In the words of Stained, one of the bands I used to listen to growing up, they had a song called It's Been a While. So I do want to apologize. It's been a while. But your boy was away trying to get things set up, trying to get guests lined up for the upcoming episodes because this... Guys, we about to go in. We about to get it in. We're going places. Just bear with me. So today, man, we got a special guest in the building soon. He's about to jump in real soon here. My dude, Bobby Berg, a.k.a. BB. Phenomenal youth speaker, man. Just like off the chain youth speaker. Man, he's been lighting it up several areas across the U.S., man. He's really been just tearing it up, like doing huge things. He is a phenomenal speaker. He relates to the youth, man. We were definitely part of the Speak Fire team for a while here. I got to add this in there. You're going to hear me say it again. A certified E.T., Eric Thomas, certified speaker coming in, man. He's coming in hot. You know, the Andy Mineo song coming in hot. Yes. But guys, today we're going to be talking about the destruction of the fairy tale. Whoo. The destruction of the fairy tale, man. I'm about to get my dude Bobby on in just a sec here, man. So we about to get it in, guys. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because I know I'm ready. So we about to get it in. Hey, Bobby, can you hear me?
Absolutely. Coming in loud and clear.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. Give me 1 second. I'm going to test some things out real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, good, man. Let me just give you the proper introduction here because it's been a while.
It's been a hot minute, man.
Man, in the words of Stained, I was just saying, in the words of Stained, the band I used to listen to growing up, they had a song called It's Been a While. So it's been a while, man. And so my dude Bobby Berg here, aka my dude BB, around everywhere. Like ET certified speaker, Bobby Berg. Man, like he's lighting up, man. His podcast, Student Fire, he's got some messages, you guys, like for real. Like the dude is off the chain. I can't edify him enough, but bringing to the stage, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Bobby Berg. Man, it's dope to have you back on, man.
Thank you so much for that. That was, you are so sweet and so kind, and I just glad to be here, man. I can't put it to words.
That's what's up. That's great, man. And I can't wait to just get ready to jump in because this is... This segment of the Dear Young Brother podcast, this is promptly titled The Destruction of the Fairy Tale. And this is going to be crazy because there's a lot going on. Like, there's a lot, like, this whole manosphere thing between the manosphere and feminism. Like, it seems like the relationship, you know, as we know it, relationships as we know it, is mutating, it seems like. And we have this thing where in the last 2 years or so, we've seen the emergence of Kevin Samuels, and we've seen the emergence of like the manosphere has conceived, and now there's like the age-old battle of the sexes has like a whole tub of gasoline has been poured on it. As if it wasn't raging enough, now it's gotten even crazier. It's become like a wildfire. And so, Bobby, I really wanted to have you on because I know the two of us, we deal with the youth and young people, you know, and you speak to them and you have your finger on the pulse of their heart and where they are. Like you're there and you're just like I am. And it's like, it's almost like I kind of feel like relationship wise they're in a tough spot, and mm-hmm. between feminism and the manosphere, it's even spread to people our age, you know, when it comes to relationships. This thing is on both ends of the spectrum, the age spectrum here. So I kind of wanted to have you on because I'm like, I need to get my dude Bobby. We need to have a meeting of the minds. And like, when it comes when it comes to the young people, like where are they? You know, so I kind of want to just kind of just jump on. Like, I'm sure you've had your due diligence in like looking at, you know, a little bit of Kevin Samuels and what the Manosphere is. And like, I want to get, before we jump on and into the thick of it, like, what have you been seeing based on like, or what have you been thinking based on what you've been observing rather concerning the Manosphere and feminism and everything?
So it's really odd. I've noticed that a lot of people, when you bring up either the Manosphere or feminism, get very heated very quickly.
Yes.
Just the word.
Yes.
Gets people going, because of course that's how you know it's a successful movement, is there's a lot of emotion and a lot of charged feelings attached to those words.
Right.
And I think both movements have an incredible message. The problem is people are weaponizing. They're not listening to the intention of what people are trying to get across.
Right. 'Cause
let's be honest. We've all been in a conversation with our spouse, our friend, our coworker, someone, where you don't always voice things effectively in as far as what you feel.
Right.
But if you're arguing with someone, they're going to attach onto what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go back and you're like, well, here's not what I meant. That doesn't matter. The toothpaste is already out of the tube.
Right.
Right.
It was out there.
And the problem that I'm seeing is a lot of people aren't taking the time to listen to each other when it comes to solving any of these relationship issues.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to win.
Right.
Even about, let's fix this together. No. It is, I'm going to win this.
Right.
Because I'm going to win this. And that's how this goes. And it's like, okay, cool. But what did you win?
Exactly.
Right? Like,
and then when you ask that question, they can't frame it into words what they won. They just win. I just want to win. Win what? I don't know.
Yeah, you won the argument. Okay, great. And now the issue that we were discussing is still in the same spot that it was. And now we're upset with each other.
Exactly. And so with that, I'm sure you would agree, nobody won.
Exactly.
Nobody won. And it's like,
It's
a stalemate still.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I had found in thinking about and observing, because I had been taking in like quite a bit of content of Kevin Samuels and the Manosphere, because now with the Manosphere, at first it was all a lot of guys who were on the movement because that's where it steeps into. But now I'm seeing more women content creators who are on the boat of the Manosphere, like, hey, this is what these men are saying, like, we agree. So it's like,
yeah,
now it's like, okay, now it's not just men on the side of the Manosphere, it's women who are saying, yeah, you know what, I took the time to stand back and listen, and it just makes sense. And so now it's almost like a you know, almost like Infinity War or something, where you have like, okay, you have, you know, this team against that team, and it's like we're about to go to war, or in this sense, we're about to continue the war.
Yeah,
and it's crazy. And so do you think that this feminism movement, do you think it has mutated from what the original intent was?
I do. I think that with any social movement, it's going to change over time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have your initial ideas, and we're all people, and we all have our own thoughts. So I'm going to take this idea and go, all right, I like this. I can kind of let this third point slide a little bit. And point four, you're like, no, don't agree with that. So then you kind of change it, right? I think that with the modern feminism movement, I think it's got an incredible message. And I don't think it's one that most people would disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, saying that all people should really be treated equally, across the board in all situations kind of makes sense, right?
Right.
Okay. What I don't think is good, and what I don't like, is when people take that to the extreme. Mm-hmm. And this goes with any movement that I see socially.
Right.
Is when people start going, oh my God, well, you know, we should just kill all men and men are trash. And I'm like, whoa. Wait a second.
Yeah.
I might not be the greatest person, but I'm not trash.
Right.
I'm not. And then to lump every man into it, it's like, wait a second.
It's even worse.
What goal are we trying to achieve here?
Right.
Because it's equality. It's not domination.
Right.
There's a big difference.
And I think that's what you nailed the nail right on the head when you say, you know what, it's mutated into this whole, now it's, we don't need you, men are nothing, you guys are below us, and da da. And it's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I think the core purpose was for both genders to coexist equally and to really flourish this whole thing called life.
Yes.
And not just in the realm of reproduction, but also in the realm of, hey, let's be equal. And now with that, I totally agree with, you know, women, you know, being paid, you know, compensated equally for the work that they do.
Absolutely. In all things.
And one of the things I was listening to, a content creator who was part of the Manosphere, he was saying, well, when women, you know, he was addressing that the mutated part of this feminism movement, the mutated part that says, you know, men are trash, we don't need them, you guys can just go off and vanquish and disappear. That he was addressing that mm-hmm. part of it. He was like, well, if you guys want equal, you know, equality, then why are we not seeing more women, like, you know, coal mining and you know, the hard-nosed jobs that he was saying, like, that men are still doing? If you want to be equal, he's like, why aren't women doing those kinds of, you know, jobs or whatever have you? And I get what he was saying, but it was like, okay, well, maybe they're just not choosing that. But the fact that both sides have mutated, and I think for a long time, years and years, I had heard, and I'm sure you've heard growing up, you know, that from, you know, women, whenever they would congregate, you know, men are nothing. Yeah, men ain't nothing, blah, blah, blah. And you would hear this constant man bashing. And it was like, okay, well, we're just trying to be heard. And through all of that, over the years, I think men have been trying to be heard. But women, they know how to turn up the volume in their arguments, and they feel, because they get louder and they know how to go there, that they feel that they're right. And it's like, wait a minute, we're just trying to balance the books.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that one of my mentors or someone told me years ago was that we have two ears and one mouth for a reason, so that we can listen twice as more than we do speak.
Yes.
And it goes back to what you were saying earlier, is that, hey, this is what we're trying to accomplish here. We are just trying to get to that point where, when can we just listen and not have this desire to be right? Because if you're just doing what you're doing just to be right, if you're just arguing just to be right, then no one wins. And you say, I won. What did you win? I remember years ago, Chris Rock, he had a stand-up called Bigger and Blacker, and it was like on the heels of the OJ thing. He was like, you know, when the OJ trial, he was came back in, and everybody was like, Black America was like, we won. He's like, what the heck did we win? He's like, every day I look in the mail for my OJ prize, nothing. You know, so it's like, what did we win? So I echo that sentiment, like, what did we win? And so I think when it comes down to it, and the point that I want to get into is the next part of what I want to discuss here, is like, when it comes to relationships and the young people who listen to us and the young people, you know, that follow what we say, I'm thinking, like, will these young men and women, as they continue to grow older and mature and, you know, experience life, will they be able to have harmonious relationships, or are they doomed to the monotony of just jumping from relationship to relationship, hoping to find this unicorn that they feel is out there? And dare I say, it seems like women are more in search of this unicorn than men. I mean, and so I kind of want to get your thoughts on that.
So, that's a big one. So everyone just get comfy, because this one's going to be long.
buckle up. As my friend used to say, buckle up, pack a lunch.
Right? Yeah, pack a lunch for sure. So, I mean, I've been with the students that I've been working and coaching, I've been working with and coaching, they're very aware of how transparent I am with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so a little over a year ago now, my wife and I got divorced.
Mm.
And it wasn't this ugly, nasty, drag-out brawl that everyone sees on TV and they expect, because that was the first thing all my students asked. And they're like, dude, how bad is it? Like, what's? I was like, why is... And it was during a group coaching call, and I stopped and said, why is everyone's first reaction
that
negative?
Right. Because that's what they're used to.
Exactly. I know why, because we've all seen Divorce Court and right. All of these shows and everything that shows, you know, if you're splitting, it has to be nasty. And I was like, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was very loving. Although things were ending, we said, this is what's best for both of us in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make this work as comfortably as we can right. In this discomfort.
Right. Man, that's good.
Right? And everyone was really shocked. Because, I mean, I've recently moved to North Carolina, so there's all new people that don't know me, so we have to do these introductions and talk and get deep and all this nonsense. And I'm not ashamed or scared to bring up a topic, because a lot of people, the second you say the word divorce, they go, ugh.
Like a gut punch. Like, ooh.
Yeah, and I'm like, just take a deep breath, relax. It wasn't bad. I'm not upset. There's no anger. Right. And then they're always confused. And I'm like, what is it? With today's, like, why does everybody look at situations where you move on negatively?
It's like a right? Pre-programming.
It makes sense, because that's what we see, right? If you look at social media, you go on TikTok, Twitter, it doesn't matter. People are going to be just ragging on each other the second a split happens.
Right.
Now, with that, I've been getting back into the dating scene. Not much, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to stop for a little bit there, because I'm like, I can't hang, yo. Bro, I can't hang anymore, man.
Wow.
So, no joke, I went on a date with this girl. We were just going to go down to the coastal trail and go on a walk and have coffee and just get to know each other. Like, just two random strangers that met on the internet, as you do.
Right.
So, we're walking, and I'm explaining my job, what I do, you know, the kid that I work with, all this. And she starts talking about our future. And I was like, that's a little quick, but whatever. We're just talking.
Right.
Within 10 minutes, I realized I hadn't said a word and she hadn't taken a breath. I'm like, oh,
wow. Wow.
Okay. This is going to be a long walk, isn't it? But at this point, I'm invested.
Right.
So she goes on and she's like, yeah, you know, I mean, we're going to take your salary and you're going to pay for this and this and this and this, and I'm going to have my money and I'm just going to play with it. I was like, wait. This fantasy land didn't sound good to begin with, but now I'm really not here. Like,
wow.
What are we doing, man? And I thought she was joking, and I laughed, and she looks at me and she goes, I don't understand why you're laughing.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wait, you being serious? And she goes, yeah, no, I'm dead serious about this. Wow. That's how our life is going to go. And I decided to grab my coffee, do a complete 180, and just walk away. I was like, no, nope, not even going to entertain a goodbye with this.
Wow.
I'm out.
And it's crazy.
No, go ahead.
No, because instantly, and that's the pulse of the manosphere. You know, when it comes to feminism, the heart of it is, it's the modern women. This is what the manosphere talks about. The modern-minded women versus them wanting traditional men. Basically, the modern woman, from what I'm understanding about it all, because I'm still new to it myself, they want the men like, hey, your salary is going to take care of the home and everything, bills, everything. You bring home the bacon and I'll do what I want with my money. And everything is about me. You bow to me. Your focus is me. Me, me, me. Big me, little you. So that's the mind paradigm that I'm hearing that the Manosphere is saying with these modern day women. They want the traditional man from like the 50s and 60s and even 40s, but they want to keep this modern minded thing where it's like, I'm a boss, babe. The focus is on me, because this is what social media has done to the minds of a lot of women. And now, per your experience, she's going to walk away from the table saying, oh, he ghosted me. He's trash. But it's like, whoa, let's analyze, rewind. Look at what you were saying. And so she'll walk away saying, okay, scratch that kind of guy off. And she'll still walk away looking for this unicorn who's going to what they call these kind of men, simps.
Yes.
She wants the kind of guy who's going to simp for her and saying, hey, yes, whatever you say, you know, kind of like coming to America and Prince Akeem, whatever you like. Yeah. So it's like, whatever you like, you know. Right? And so that's the mindset. So again, and it sucks that she started painting this menagerie of what life was going to be like on the first date. Or even the first transaction, I would say, because it's like, okay, this is not really a date.
Which well, no, I just mean, technically.
Well, yeah, yeah. So it's like, we're just talking and you're laying out a whole life already.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Which, at the same token, like, I will say, something that modern feminism has done is it definitely, and granted, that was just one instance. I'm not saying the entire movement is bad, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I think that was just one instance of somebody that has taken things too far. And I think, because I've also met women that are feminists that that are incredible, incredible human beings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they are straight stand-up people, and they're like, listen, I know my value and I know what I'm worth and I know what I want, and that, and I'm not afraid to hide from it and play this dating game back and forth where I just decide, oh, well, here's what you want. I'm going to drop all what I want just because I'm like, no.
Right.
I don't even want that. I want you to live your best life 100%, and I want to be there to enhance it.
Right. That's exactly. It. And that's the thing, like, and that's the pulse of it right there, baby. It's like, we are together. We are both great people, because guess what? When it comes to a relationship, let's be honest, the goal of a relationship is to get to the marriage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when it comes to marriage, a bride doesn't walk down the aisle to nobody.
No.
A groom doesn't walk down the aisle to nobody. Mm-hmm. Both parties are equally as great and equally needed. So yes. I have a problem when women say, I don't need a man. You hear that like a mantra amongst many of women today, at least that I've heard. But I'm like, I've never heard a man say, I don't need a woman. I don't need a woman in my life. I don't need him. Like, I've never heard that. So I'm like, what kind of toxic thought paradigm is that saying? I don't need a man. That's why the both genders were created. They need one another.
Let me pop on that one real quick. So I actually asked that. I was in a coaching session and one of my students had just gotten out of practice and she was all heated because something gone wrong. And she's sitting there ranting for probably 2 minutes straight and just goes, man, I don't even need no man. And I was like, all right, we're going to unpack that. She goes, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean by that? And she started to talk. I was like, stop. Take a second. Think about what you're going to say. Take a deep breath and just let it out.
Mm-hmm.
And she went. And at the end of it, I was like, all right, cool. So what did you just say? And she goes, I'm saying that I don't really need a man that treats me like that.
Right there.
That's what I'm saying. And right. I was like, see, now work with.
Right.
And I kept going deeper with her on that. And I was like, you know what? Here's the difference. All the guys that I work with, at least once, if not twice a week, when relationships come up during our sessions, they'll say, man, I want.
Hmm.
In terms of this, you know, person that they're courting over.
Right.
And for all the girls that say, I don't need no man, I was like, but understand this. You don't need. Do you want, though?
Right.
And of course, inevitably, the answer is always, yeah, I do. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. But I think what a lot of people say when it's the, I don't need no man, you don't need a man. You don't. You want one, though.
Right.
And more importantly, the need, having a partner, having a man in your life, having a whatever, does not mean that that person is going to change your life or be your entire life or change you for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need anyone else. You are fine how you are. You are incredible. You are wonderful. But you need to convince yourself of that first prior to even considering having a partner in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't understand your own value and understand what you bring to the table, and I don't mean just, oh, yeah, I know what I bring to the table. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. Every one of my students that ever said, well, I mean, this is like an entrance thing with us. Like whenever I bring on a new student, we sit down and we talk and I ask them, like, what do you bring to the table in a relationship?
And now,
him sit there. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, sorry. Now, are they ever offended by that question? Because many women
all the time.
I don't understand the offense, though. I just learned to rephrase the question like, okay, when it comes to relationships, what will you do differently in this relationship? If it turns into a relationship, what will you do differently than you did in your previous relationships?
Yes.
Like as far as assets versus liabilities, you know, what things mm-hmm. will you do differently? You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. sorry, go ahead.
No, a lot of my students get, I mean, they'll get offended because it is a personal question. It's a hard question. Like, I'm not asking them to just kind of give me a surface level answer. Anyone that's ever spoken to me or that has worked with me in depth knows that I don't deal with surface level answers. We don't have time for that. My time is too valuable and so is yours.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
So I'm like, let's get deep here. Let's get vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Let's stop being so afraid of these surface level answers say what we want to say.
Yes.
Because I mean, you know, one of my speaker buddies who coaches charges $5,000 an hour. Wow. For his time.
Wow.
Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I've seen him on calls. If someone starts giving surface level answers, he will just click and just the call's over. He's Whoa. Like, listen, you're wasting my time. I don't have time for this.
Wow.
And I granted, I'm not to that level because that's, I think there's a lot. That's the opposite end of what I want.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, let's talk about this. What do you bring to the table in a relationship if that's what you're looking for?
And right.
this is mainly with my college age students and some of my later high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll ask them, like, what do you bring to the table? Like, what makes you flipping awesome? What is it? And it takes them a second to sit there and write it down and go, well, you know, I am a really good cook and I really do care for my partners a lot. And I'm also really great at working on cars, and I'm also great at making other people feel better and all this. I'm like, cool. That's what I've been waiting for. Why right. did it take us 10 minutes to get there?
Right.
Right. Because if you don't know your value and you don't know your worth and you don't know what makes you amazing,
right.
then bringing another person into your life is not going to give you any clarity.
It's not going to better it. Right.
Because once they're there, it's so much harder to then be like, oh, well, they do this thing that I don't like. And I know that I'm not going to say anything about it because I want to avoid confrontation, mm-hmm. but this thing really bothers me. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Right.
You have two options, either bring it up gently or deal with it and just sit there with it. What are you going to do? And I mean, granted, there's no right answer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there is. I think that addressing it with, you know, the person you're with is probably the better answer, but
right.
I also have students that just sit there and take it. And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, so how do you feel? And they're going, they're still leaving the cupboard open every time they get a glass out. I'm like, well, have fun closing that door because you didn't bring it up.
Right. Like, okay, sit there and stew in it because you're quiet. And my thing is, I try to tell people, because I remember, I don't understand, briefly jumping back, when people, well, we're going to go with women because that's on the table, because they're the ones who get offended that I've seen with that question. But if you're at a job interview and your job, the interviewer asks, okay, well, what do you bring to the table? What are you going to bring to this establishment if we decide to hire you? They're asking, how will you be an asset? And I feel like one of my mentors, I always go back to that, it's like my default, one of my mentors.
Yeah.
But because they've poured so many things into me over the years. And one of the things one of my mentors told me years ago, he's like, dating is a collection or collecting of data.
Yes.
And what all you're doing, you're not sitting there making life plans in the first series of dates, like the first four series of dates, the first four dates, you're looking at collecting the data and you're seeing if the data lines up and if it will be a good fit for the both of you. Because if I'm sitting down at a date, I'm sitting down saying, okay, I'm going to go ahead and be a little bit transparent with this person. I'm not going to be fully transparent because I still don't know them. But I'm going to be relatively transparent in that, okay, this is what happened in previous relationships that I did. Because you have to take the onus. You have to take the onus for things that you did. And absolutely, what many people in the manosphere don't, you know, what irks many people in the manosphere, both men and women who are on the flagship of the manosphere, they feel like women, it's so difficult for women to take accountability for things.
Yes.
You know, and people, women get offended with that, but it's like, no, I've seen that myself. I grew up in a house full of women, me, my mom, and two sisters. So it's like, and even observing women, I've seen it. There's some kind of issue with him taking accountability for the most part. And so what dating is like, okay, I'm going to let you know, in past relationships, this, that, and the other didn't work. This is what I did. This is what the other person did. This is what lessons I learned. And this is what I'm going to carry into the next relationship. So I'm putting all things on the table. Okay, if this turns into a relationship, understand that I can sometimes shut down when it comes to, you know, if there's an issue, if there's a rub, I shut down. I shut down for a moment. I shut down for a few days. I may not return text. I'm just giving an example. So my thing is, like, yeah, that's the collecting of data part. You're telling this person, this is what happens, or this is what happened in times past, and this is what I'm working on. I'm working on becoming better at not shutting down, or if I shut down, I give myself a time limit on how long I'm going to shut down. I may shut down for like 2 hours and not return a text. And then when I'm ready and calm to talk about it, I'll return a text, or I'll call instead. Because this generation, you know, everybody loves a text, but it's like the mature thing is to, let's make a phone call or let's meet up in person. Okay, this is what happened. You said this. I didn't appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. And that, because this is giving the other person inventory to say, okay, is this something I can deal with? Because it has to get, it has to get beyond the surface. It has to get beyond, oh, he has nice pecs and abs and he makes decent money, he's, you know, career driven, or she's baddie, she's got curves, she got the lashes, or what. It has to transcend beyond that, because that's just surface. It's like, okay, that's just the bells and whistles, but what's the operating system?
Exactly.
You know, and give me a chance to choose whether I want to deal with where that operating system, the version of that operating system on which you are now. If that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
No, that makes perfect sense. You know, I think the biggest problem that I'm seeing with modern dating and how everyone approaches it is if I don't like this person, cool, fine. I can just pull my phone out and swipe for what could be a minute, what could be a month, and I'll meet someone new.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You are so easily replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is instant access, and we've become so accustomed to having instant access to everything.
Right.
Everything. Oh, I'm hungry. DoorDash.
Right.
Oh, I need a ride. Uber. Mm-hmm. I need some quick dopamine hit. TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want is right accessible there within roughly minutes, if not a couple of days.
Right.
Including dating.
Mm-hmm.
And people lose the importance of connecting with another person because everything's done so quickly.
Right.
And oftentimes, I'm finding that people don't want to take that emotional inventory of themselves.
Yes.
To really see what they bring to the table, because it hurts. It does. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest here. It's awful when a relationship ends in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
What's even harder is when you sit down with one of your friends and they're like, dude, what happened? And you're like, oh, well, they. And then you get that one friend who is the truest friend you will ever have that digs deeper and is like, all right, cool, but what did you do?
Exactly. Ah, exactly.
And we've all had it. We all get so upset with them because you're like, I just want to vent. I hate the fact that you exist and you're asking these hard questions because now I have to take inventory of myself. But those conversations with that friend always give you the biggest insight on yourself, because then you have to sit there and be like, all right, yeah, things ended, but they said the one thing they really cared about was date night at least once a month, and I really just didn't put any effort in when date night came.
Right.
Man, I didn't think anything of it because it's nothing to me, but to them,
it's everything.
You know, that was that was our special time, and it was and their love language is quality time. So the fact that I didn't care about the quality time with them, man, yeah, that really, oh,
yes,
I really dropped the ball there, didn't I?
Right.
But how many people do that? Most people don't.
Not a lot. And I don't say this to be sexist, but it seems as if the circles that I've ran around and I've observed, more often than not, you will have guys to say, man, I really messed up on that one. I dropped the ball. Because we have people around us who will like hold that mirror up in front of us and say, no, take a look at yourself, like you were just saying. But I've also seen on the women's side of things, they like to have that yes corner. Yeah, girl, you're right. Yeah, it was all him. Man. And that it feeds the fire of that thought paradigm, like, you're good. Nothing's wrong with you. You'll find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no. And I start thinking back to E.T. when he talked about people have this inability to self-assess.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yes.
Because we are not these perfect little beings that we may think we are and our friends may gas us up to be. Because if you're gassing each other up on some lies, then you're going to both just be full of hot air.
Exactly.
And I'd say this to men and women alike. You're not the cat's meow. There's always someone better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in a comedic way of saying it, you know, there's one comedian say, hey, you jacked up, I'm jacked up, so let's just be jacked up together. Find out who's equal level to your jacked upness. And y'all just be together.
it's so, true, though. It's,
yeah.
Honestly, when you think about it, like, I was watching Chris, this comedian, can't remember his last name, but he was saying the same thing. He's like, marriage, relationships is basically a giant game of, I guess.
Right.
Like, I think you and I will have dinner and we'll have this, like, mediocre meal, I guess, and maybe we'll stay together, I guess. And then in a couple of years, we'll get married, I guess. And we'll have kids, I guess. And right. We'll feed them every day, I guess. And then we'll take them on a vacation if we have the money, I guess. Like,
right.
But he's right. Like, that's what it is.
Yes. And
it's the most simple thing. And, simple. And what we decide to do is we complicate things, because what are we failing to do when there's an issue with your spouse, with your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever? Mm-hmm. We're not communicating.
Yes.
We're just not. Like... So I was listening to this amazing, amazing speech. If anyone's listened to Alan Watts, he's a philosopher who is I think he passed away in the 70s. Doesn't matter. Incredible guy. He has this talk on falling in love. Mm-hmm. And he goes, it's crazy. The act of falling. We don't say rising to love. We don't say arriving in love. We don't say running to love. We say falling in love with someone. Why? Because in the act of the fall, you completely let go of every security blanket you have. There's nothing that's going to save you from hitting the ground. And you look at it and you go, doesn't matter. Why? Because you are completely surrendering to that person and to the relationship.
Right.
And so many people don't do that anymore.
And because like, I think they're afraid, man. I think that the fear of falling is just too big in their head. And it's like, it's almost like what Will Smith said in Hitch. He's like, you know, you just fall, and on the whole way down, you're just thinking, you know, basically, is this worth the fall? Is this person worth the fall? And yeah. I follow a young lady on Instagram. Her name is Coach Taylor. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, you know, and she deals with women and being in toxic relationships and how to come out. And how to recognize the toxicity, not only in the relationship, but the toxicity in themselves, the toxic traits.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, but it seems like both parties need that, though, both men and women. You know, so shout out to Coach Nicole Taylor. So it's like, you know, men need to understand and be able to see the toxic traits in themselves, and so do women.
Yes.
And it's like,
absolutely.
Don't be afraid. Like, take a chance. And if it doesn't work, okay. It's almost like when you're little, you know, like when we see babies who are learning how to walk, they don't fear walking because they're going to fall. They exactly. walk, they fall down, fall on their butt, and they get back up and they keep walking. They don't let the fall dictate whether they're going to get back up again. Because exactly. they know eventually, if I keep getting up, I'm going to not fall. I'm going to lessen the amount of times I fall. Each time I get up, I'm going to keep on walking and I'm going to get further. So, and my thing is, stop looking for this unicorn of a perfect guy with this perfect salary or this perfect female, this perfect woman with this perfect body, because you're not going to find a perfect person. Because again, one of my mentors told me years ago, he says, son, when you find the woman you're going to spend the rest of your life with, he said, women are like encyclopedias. He said, there are volumes to who they are. So when you find that one you're going to spend the rest of your life with, she will become the course of your intense study the rest of your life. And he was like,
I love that.
Yeah. And so he was like, you know, and I know some millennials may get lost with the term encyclopedias, but Google encyclopedias, you know, Google what it was. And so he was saying was, love is not an emotion. He said, love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. And he said, every day you must wake up and choose to love that person. He said, you know, since I'm a guy, he said, when you wake up, choose to love her. And over the years, if you guys get married or whatever have you, you have kids, her body's going to change. Her likes are going to change. Her dislikes are going to change. Things that make her happy is going to change. The whole nine. He says, so you have to continue to study her, and not just study her, but you have to continue to choose to love her. He said, love is not an emotion, because emotions change based on circumstances. So he says, so you can't base love on an emotion. It has to be by choice. And that was huge. That blew my mind, and it stuck with me ever since.
I can see why. That's incredible, man. Oh my goodness. Ooh, I love that.
It was crazy. I'm like, wow. Like, and cause it shattered my paradigm at that time, because growing up, my society has told me love's an emotion. And when you fall in love, You can fall in love. You can fall out of love. And I remember when I was working, I worked at Walmart when the single came out, Alicia Keys first came out. She says, I keep on falling in and out of love. And I'm like, wow, you people literally fall in and out of love. Oh, well, you no longer make me happy. I'm falling out of love with you. Not understanding that I'm not responsible for your happiness in a relationship. We have to come into it both being happy and knowing that we have to make ourselves happy.
Yes.
And we come together and we complement each other's happiness where we are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, it's huge.
That's how it should be, though. Right. It should be, I am so content with myself and I love myself for my flaws, my, you know, every single bad part about me and every great part about me. I love this. Is this something that you are interested in matching?
Right. Right.
Because then you're going to look at that person and go, well, I also, here's all the things that I don't like that you do, but here's also every single thing that I love about you.
Right. And it's finding, like, magnify that.
Yeah. Like, you're not looking for that perfect person, because if you have this is my favorite thing, is when people have on their dating profiles, I'm going to bleep that part of this just because, but right. They've got 6 figures, 7 inches. Well, I forgot to write. No, we're not bleeping that out. Or no, 6 feet, 7 inches, and 8 figures. And I'm like,
wow. That's crazy.
Whoa. That's.
But that's the thought paradigm for many, many women, though.
And I think that the women that subscribe to that use it as a defense mechanism completely. To weed out the guys that they're thinking are just like. So I asked one of my students who had let slip that she had that on her profile. I was like, can we talk about that? And she goes, yeah, I guess. And I said, why do you have that there? Just curious. Because finding a 6 foot tall dude that's got a massive bank account and, well, everything else that goes along with that, that's not likely. And she goes, honestly, I don't know. So we started talking about it, getting deeper into the subject. And we finally got to the point where she goes, I don't really want all this.
It's a programming.
I want a guy. She goes, I want a guy that has a stable job, loves himself, has a hobby that he enjoys, and fits me into where his life fits, and we complement each other. And I was like, then why don't you put that?
Right. Exactly. Like, is that hard?
The answer,
is that hard?
Why don't you just? Because she'd been saying, she's like, I had to delete these dating apps because I was just getting these terrible, terrible guys. And I said, well, the biggest issue I'm seeing is that people are not coming into these relationships as though they matter. And that's really what it is. Let's be honest here. It's about people feeling as though they matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're meeting with someone, if you're going on a date, whether it's the first date or the 15th, you want to feel that you are valued in this relationship or situationship or what have you.
Exactly.
And if you're not, then it's actively wasting your time.
Mm-hmm. That's what I tell people. I'm like, I appreciate the time that people give me, because that's the most precious commodity that we cannot replace. We can't get it back. So I'm like, thank you for giving me your time.
Yes.
Because we cannot get that back. And I think that all that other stuff and fluff, I think many people desire certain stuff because society puts that on them. Or you should desire this. And then with the whole height thing with women and dating is like, look, not every guy is like 6'2", 6'3", okay? Not everybody's like that. Because you may be missing everything that you want in a guy, but the only thing is he may be 5'10", which that's still pretty tall, you know, for a guy. So it's you're missing that because society is telling you and planting that seed in your head that he needs to be 6'2", he needs to be taller than me. Oh my god. Okay, just can not just be both the same height? Is that still a deal breaker? And so it's like, shorter, it doesn't matter.
Right. I'd asked one of my girlfriends, not girlfriend, but girl that was a friend, I was like, so do y'all really care about the height thing? And she goes, honestly, dude, I'm just upset when shorter men get really mad when I wear my heels and I tower over them. And I'm like, but yo, but who cares? Have you seen those heels? She's like, you're different. You're different. I'm like, I know. Right? Because I'm not a tall guy. I am 5'7" at best. And I don't care. I'm short. I get it. It's fine. But every girl that I've met, that I've gone on dates with, okay, so here's another side story. I went on a date with this girl. She shows up, you know, I've got my suit on, got my fresh cologne, the watch, everything was to the nines. I was feeling great.
Nice.
Old girl comes up in this beautiful, like dark, deep purple dress that's crossed in the back. Oh my goodness. And these like lovely black heels that probably made her 4 inches taller. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. This girl was easily 6'3" with those heels. And we walked in and she kind of seemed a little nervous. I mean, it's a first date, so whatever, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the, not the server, the hostess kind of looks at us funny and goes, I was like, table for two, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl legitimately was so embarrassed that the hostess had looked at us weird. She goes, oh, I have to go grab something from my car real quick. I'm like, all right, whatever. All of a sudden I noticed I'm waiting there for 10 minutes. And I was like, you did not. You did not just leave because someone looked at us funny because you look great and you're taller than I am. Please right. tell me. And of course I get that text message about 2 minutes after that saying, hey, I can't do this. I got to go. I'm like, you know, whatever.
Wow.
So what? I did what any sensible person would do. And I had dinner by myself, looking great, feeling great.
Right.
And
wow.
The server had actually watched this whole thing happen. And she comes over and takes my order, all this. And when she drops my food off, she goes, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, absolutely. She goes, so I noticed your date just left. Can I ask why? I said, honestly, this is going to sound really shallow, but it's because I'm too short for her. And she got really uncomfortable towering over me. And she goes, man, that's really sad. But how did you just sit down and just have dinner by yourself? I said, honestly, that's one of the greatest joys is being able to just sit down with yourself and have a meal and not be uncomfortable in a crowded restaurant full of people. Like,
because
wow. I know a bunch of people saw that and like, who cares? And she goes, well, I've never seen anybody do that. I said, you should open your eyes a little bit more because a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Right? Just because a bad situation happened doesn't mean that my whole life is ruined. Like, I truthfully don't care.
Exactly.
Like, I have my whole 3-piece suit on. I'm like, man, I could not feel better and more powerful in this outfit right now.
Wow. That's
But
that's
so many
dope.
People are attached to these little ideals of, oh, he needs to be this taller. Oh, she needs to look like this. Or, oh, she. I'm like, dude, they're people.
Exactly.
They are people. They exactly. come in all shapes and sizes and races and creed and this and that and that and that. Why don't you just find somebody that you vibe with?
And they all have a
like
freaking
just,
superpower.
Like just start there.
Right.
Yeah.
And they all have a superpower that makes them dope. That's the thing.
And if you don't take the time to get to know what that superpower is, man, you're cutting yourself off at the knees.
Yes. And you're likely missing something that could enhance your life.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. That's,
like,
that's the thing.
I don't get it. People get so superficial when it comes. And that's, I think that to wrap up my thought on this, sorry, I know we went on a tangent.
No, we're good.
I really think that's what bothers me the most about online dating is people are so attached to their ideals of you need to meet all these requirements before you can even talk to me. And I'm like, whoa, excuse you.
Right.
I will walk like you're not. So I did say this to one person because they outright were like, yo, you know, you don't meet all my requirements. And I was like, honey, I don't know a nicer way to put this. So I'm just going to be blunt. You're not that important. You're not.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
You're not like I'm not trying to be mean.
No,
you do not enhance my life that much that I'm going to worry about meeting all of your requirements to talk to you. Get out of here.
Right, man.
Get out of here.
That's the thing right there. Like, that's the thing. Like, we're all human. you're not some, you know, advanced humanoid person that is so unhuman that, like, oh, I have to come up to your requirements because you are this, and, you know, not, and you're just this superhuman or whatever. No. Well, the thing is, you bought into your own hype, along with buying into society's standards and requirements and this, that, and the other. Like, you drank the tea, basically. You drank the Kool-Aid.
Yes.
You drank the Kool-Aid, basically.
You went back for seconds, too.
Right. And you like, you didn't just take the glass of Kool-Aid. You went back and drunk the picture, okay? Because you're egotistically intoxicated with your own self.
Yes.
And that's the big thing.
Which
that...
Which
is why... Oh, it irks.
That's why we need a good friend to knock you down a peg or two and be like, hey, that's a nice big head you got here. Come back down to reality.
Right. And if if a friend doesn't do it, this is the more humbling thing. The person that they desire and like, this is a person I deserve, that I want to be with. When that person humbles them and rejects them, that's the thing that's going to send them back down to earth, so to speak. And thus, the destruction of the fairy tale. I think, because we all walk around, for the most part, with this fairy tale in our minds of what our love life and married life or whatever life is going to be like. It's equivalent to, and I say all the time, and people laugh, but it's like, it's true. You remember, you know, watching KETC, Channel 9, and Mr. Rogers would come on, and Trolley would go through the tunnel, leaving reality and going into the land of make-believe. People live there.
Yes.
They live in the land of make-believe. They never come out of the tunnel. They never come back to reality. Because social media and these filters and all these things, they're like, hey, this is the metaverse. I want to live in the metaverse. I want to live here in this space that allows me to be what I want to be and have people meet my requirements, yada, yada, whatever have you. And it's like, no, you have to experience the destruction of the fairy tale, or you're going to look up, whether you're male or female, and you're going to look up and you're going to be 65 years old, and time, the sands in the hourglass are really going to be racing against you. And you're going to say, man, I never met the person that was right for me. I never met my soulmate, which I don't believe in that, but it's like, you look up and you missed all this time.
Yeah.
And now you're basically going to die alone, you know? And it's like, it's crazy. So I want to get your final thoughts and wrap this up. This has been like a series of gems dropping from the both of us, you know, in meeting of the minds here. So when it comes to, you know, the destruction of the fairy tale regarding relationships with men and women, whether they side with feminism or the manosphere or whatever have you, like, what do you want to leave with the young men listening on today?
For the young men listening, I want you to start with you. I want you to start taking accountability for your actions, both positive and negative. I want you to look at what you value in a partner, and I want you to really hold true to that. Maybe you really want a partner that's really career driven. Then look for a partner that's career driven. Stop settling on a person that has no ambition and no drive and no want. And because you're hoping and praying that one day they're just going to wake up and go, oh, now I want this. That could take a day. That could take 50 years. Mm-hmm. It could never come. The problem is, so many of you are settling in your relationships, and that does not breed a positive environment for the relationship to flourish. I want you guys to look at what you bring to the table, both in a relationship and in your personal life. And I want you to really hold fast to that, because you're amazing. You are in this wonderfully, wonderfully complex human being that has so many thoughts and feelings about so many things. And there is somebody out there that would really compliment that if that's what you're looking for. And lastly, I really want you to take an inventory of you. I want you to see what your flaws are. I want you to see what really makes you you. I want you to look at every positive thing that you can bring into any sort of relationship, be it romantic or otherwise, and really lean into that, because that's what makes you awesome. And I just want you all to understand that perfection is not what we're chasing here. It never has and it never will be. We're chasing what fits our ideal. We are chasing what fits our lifestyle, what fits our wants and desires for the future. And don't stop that chase.
Right. Man, that's powerful. That's what's up. And I'd say it a lot on the podcast, and I'm going to close it out with this. When it comes to life, relationships, whatever it is that you're doing, you either hate losing bad enough to change, or you hate change bad enough to keep losing. Like, period. So think about that, man. Think about that. And you guys already know. Until next time, BB, thank you. Appreciate, man, everything you've had to say in this time. Definitely appreciate it. You know, we're definitely going to have you on again. Man, that was dope. Destruction of the Fairy Tale, guys. You already know. Until next time, deuces.